بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brother and sister, I am in Florida in Fort Lauderdale in my uncle's house, my father's younger brother who is now the eldest in our family and he is the head of the clan. Alhamdulillah, I hadn't seen him for 10 years, so I thought this is something I must do, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reiterated and emphasized the importance of maintaining the ties of blood and also of honoring our elders. And I ask Allah to accept this and to keep my uncle Mirza Asadullah Beg and his wife, my chachi, always in his care, in his special protection, and help him always to be connected with him. May Allah accept all their du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them what they ask with khair and afiyat, then give from his generosity and grace what they had not asked. We were sitting and chatting here, and my uncle reminded me. He told me a story. My brother is also here. So my brother says, ask him about your escapade in Sirsi. Now, Sirsi is a little village in North Canada, in Karnataka. Of course, today it's no longer a little village, but in those days, we've been talking about 1960, I was 5 years old. And Sirsi was a little village. My father was the RMO, resident medical officer, of the village hospital. It was called Nehru Cottage Hospital. And we lived in the same compound as the hospital, the RMO's quarters. For most part, there was no electricity, there was no running water, there was a well in the yard, and our helpers, Muhammad Ghaus, used to help my mother. He would draw the water from the well and bring it to the house and all of that. Now, I was there, I was 5 years old, full of energy. So my uncle says to me that one day, my uncle took me for a walk. I loved walking, I loved going out on my own. So, but obviously I couldn't be just left to go out on my own. So somebody accompanied me. My father was, of course, 24 hours in the hospital. He was very busy. So he didn't take me, but my uncle took me. My grandfather also, my dada used to stay with us, and he would take me and my brother. So my uncle took me, he said, one day, and he said, I kept running ahead of him, and he kept walking and walking and walking, and he said, you kept running and running, and we went off into, he says, off the road on some off track in the fields, and then after walking a long distance, we came, he said, through some forest area, and then we came to hay ricks, which people had, after the harvest, they had accumulated the hay, and there were these mounds of hayricks, and he said, you started jumping into them and generally having a lot of fun. And my uncle says, every time I got close to you with the intention of grabbing you and taking you back home, you ran away. And you went into the next hayrick or whatever it was. He said, this happened until, it was the summer, so it was a long time between Asar and Maghrib, but he said, this continued until it was Maghrib. It was starting to get dark. And still, you know, he said, there's no drop in your energy. You're running still. And yeah, my uncle says, I was exhausted. I didn't know what to do. And then he said, it became dark. It was like 8 o'clock or something like this. He said, at that time, we saw some villagers coming back from the forest. And they had been cutting firewood. So they were carrying the firewood stacks on their heads. And they saw me, and of course, because of my father and being the hospital, being the doctor and so on, he was very, I mean, everyone knew him. So immediately they said, oh, this is Dr. Beg's son. And so my uncle said, yes. And my uncle said, look, we are lost. So they said, you are far away from home. How did you get so far away? So my uncle pointed to me and he said, this is the guy. So anyway, they said, well, we can't come back all the way with you, but we will send you 2 people to guide you. So they gave 2 people to guide us back. And eventually we got back home by about 11 o'clock in the night. Now, the reason I'm telling this story, obviously, when they got back, my grandfather was upset, my father was upset, what happened to him? And my poor uncle must have got a... he must have got... not a dressing down, but you definitely, they would have asked him, how come you let this happen? He's a five-year-old kid. But looks like I was trouble. Anyway, hopefully I have changed. Now, the point is, as a result of this and maybe other things, one of the immediate things that happened was that from that day onwards, they would put a leash on me. I mean, they used to tie on my belt. They hooked a leash, and my grandfather or uncle, whoever was with me, used to hold that leash so that I didn't just take off into the wide blue yonder.
One interesting little snippet that my uncle mentioned. He said that when those woodcutters came, my uncle was visiting from Hyderabad. So he only spoke Urdu and he spoke English, and he was studying in Germany, so he spoke German. But obviously those Kannadiga woodcutters and farmers in Sirsi, they didn't speak Urdu or English or German. So I asked him, I said, how did you make them understand what you wanted? He said, I didn't, you did. He said, you spoke to them, you interpreted what I was saying in Kannada, and you spoke to them in Kannada and explained to them what that we were lost and that we needed to get back, and they understood and they took us. Now the interesting thing is that I have zero recollection of this whole thing, and not just that, but I don't know Kannada. I mean, I apart from Hogri, Varri and so forth, other than that, I think I've completely lost Kannada. I didn't even know that I knew Kannada. But when I was 5 years old, 1960, obviously I knew at least some of it, enough to make myself understood. So I thought it's an interesting little piece to add to this story.
But the point I'm making here is that, see the amount of investment into the raising of children that goes even on the part of people for whom it was not even their responsibility. I mean, it was raising me was not my uncle's responsibility. But he did what he did. My grandfather did what he did. Eventually, even though I was 5 years old, next year, following year, they put me in HPS in Hyderabad Public School. And I was in grade 1 in 1961. In 1961, I was in grade 1 in HPS in boarding. And I'm led to believe that they did that because I was just getting too much to deal with. I had other siblings there, and my mother was getting very exhausted. So, and the one sister was born at that time in 1960, so she had a newborn baby to deal with, and she didn't need me to take up all her attention. And this was out of their love. I mean, it was not as if they discarded me or something. Alhamdulillah, I never felt that as if I was discarded. And I loved it. I mean, they sold me this. This is what adults do. They sell you stories. They sold me the story. They said in HPS, you will get, one day you will get toast and omelette for breakfast, and the next day you will get toast and jam. Toast, butter and jam. Bread, butter and jam. And that was enough to sell the whole concept of being in boarding school. And I quite happily departed. And my memories, I mean, some of this stuff I have written about in my book, It's My Life. I don't have any memories of missing home or feeling sad or anything like that. I was very happy in HPS. I had a bunch of, you know, good friends, Nizwar Hussain, and Gurcharan Singh. And so we had a ball. We did very well. Now, point is that the investment that people make in you, this is something that one needs to honor. You can't take it for granted. You can't and you should not take it for granted. You can't and you should not imagine that this was your right. It was not your right. My uncle tells me another story. He said that my grandfather, my father's father, now he was so attached to me, and so he loved me so much that when I was in boarding school, he wanted to meet me every day. Obviously, the school didn't agree with that. HPS was quite a tough school in that way. So they said, no, you can't meet him every day. He was allowed to meet me once in a week. And he would come on a motorcycle. He had a Norton, if I'm not mistaken. He used to come. He was in the railways. So he used to come on his motorcycle and he would meet me on the Sunday. And he would give me one chocolate. And that chocolate was called Best. So one Best chocolate. But the other days, my uncle tells me, and I didn't even know this, I mean, until now, my uncle tells me that my grandfather would come and he would park the motorcycle at a place where he could watch the children come out of school. And, you know, as we came out of class, we were playing in the games fields and things like this. So he would come park his motorcycle and he would just sit there. And he would look for me and he would then watch me. And he said he even had a pair of binoculars. So he would sit there with a pair of binoculars and he would be watching me. Allah alam, what people who saw him, what they thought he was doing. But subhanAllah, I am so blessed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all my elders Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la bi ghayri hisab. It's all their du'as and it's all the love that they showed for me and what they asked Allah for me. I truly sometimes, not sometimes, every time, I whenever I do something which is hopefully good and which I ask Allah to accept, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why me? Why me? I mean, you had any choice you wanted. There was no shortage of people to do your bidding. Why did you choose me? And I don't even do it well. And I've got problems and I've got, you know, I'm lazy and I'm, Allah knows best, I'm not being modest. I'm not acting. May Allah save me from riya. I would not even share this if it wasn't for the learning that this represents. And I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened doors for me and He protected me when I was headed for my own destruction, towards my own destruction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened doors and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things possible because of the du'as of these elders. My grandfather is gone. My father is gone. My uncle is there. May Allah give him a long and healthy and productive life. My grandmothers are gone. My mother is gone. So I don't even know who made what dua. But Allah knows. Allah knows. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them in keeping with His majesty and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect me and my amal so that I never disgrace my salaf. Allah gave me some beautiful people in my life as my elders. And Allah gave me beautiful people in my life as my siblings, as my compatriots, my friends. And Allah gave me some beautiful people in my life as my juniors. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give me any children because I don't even want any children. Allah gave me students who are 1,000 times better than any children that I could possibly have had. Truly, when I look at them, when I think about them, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why me? What did I do to deserve these people? I'm not mentioning their names because they wouldn't want to be mentioned. But Allah knows that So I make dua for them every single day by day. And inshallah, I will do that till the day I die. I ask Allah to include me in their du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that He honors those who taught me to honor Him, that He honors those who introduced me to Allah, to honor those who took time out of their lives and spent it with me so that I could live a life which could do them some, which would give them some satisfaction, inshallah. Now, brothers and sisters, my point of saying all this is not only to talk about my family, but to remind you that every one of us, Allah has given us elders who were good for us, who did things for us, who continue to do things for us, who don't ask anything in return, who don't take anything in return. In any case, you could not possibly repay them even if you wanted to, because how do you repay somebody who did it first? You cannot repay somebody who did it first. Because when you are repaying, you are only paying back what you already received. Alhamdulillah, 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 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind and so merciful that I have no words. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept, to take it from my heart what there is which He knows, and to grant all of these people the best of rewards. Those who are alive, for them in this dunya and akhirah, for those who have died in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me a means of sadaqatul jariyah for all of them, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take my life in a state of iman and a state of obedience to Him, Jalla Jalalu, and resurrect me in a way where one day I will meet these beautiful people again. I ask Allah to grant the same to you with your elders. I ask Allah to gather us all with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in the shade of His arsh on a day when there will be no shade except the shade of Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the honor of meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at His house, and to grant us and give us the water of Al-Kawthar from the blessed hand of the Nabi alayhi salam, and to take us behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam across the sirat into Jannat al-Firdaus wa ala bighayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.